Show me love, show me love. So, everyone, welcome back to another Just Play podcast with myself, Andy Aiken, and also Ryan Tricky. Ryan, how are you, sir?
Hello, yes, all good, thank you. Hi, all.
Well, I think first and foremost, we've actually got to ask, are you okay? Because rumour has it, let's pretend today's the day, you have turned into a new decade. Is that correct?
I was hoping you would never mention it ever again. Yes, it's true. I turned of a new decade of 40.
40. You don't look it. I mean, I could go and be really nasty and say you look more like 50, but, you know, that would be very unkind.
God, whoa. You're pushing it.
No, because we all know, fitness-wise, if you were like, right, I'll prove that I'm not 40, then you could easily do it, so... So everyone, yeah, this is obviously a bit of a special podcast because I gave Ryan the choice of, whether he would like to be sort of interviewed. So I was trying to think of some sort of play on words or acronym for this. I was thinking, is this the 40 love quiz, you know, trying to put a bit of a tennis theme in there. Yeah, well, I couldn't really think of anything. So, I mean, you could call it 40 love if you want to, or deuce, or I don't know, who knows. But this is a little bit of an interview. So for everyone listening, if you want to know a little bit more about Ryan and his background and how his first 40 years in life have gone, this is the 20 to 30 minutes to listen in.
Wow.
So, Ryan.
Brace yourself.
So again, we're always an unscripted pod, so I know the questions. Ryan generally doesn't do. You don't know any questions coming.
I don't have a clue what's going on now.
Okay, all right. Well, okay, so we're going to start with obviously your journey in coaching. So talk me through very quickly, if you can, in a brief snippet of all the clubs you've played at, and also linked in, well, play that as in terms of being a member, and also, if you can, clubs that you coached at.
Right, okay.
You don't have to be like, you know, this club I coached at, and also play, you know, you can just reel off club names.
Okay, so we've got to start with my most beloved club, which is where it all began. At St Leonard's and St Ives Tennis Club, which is in Dorset. Those of you that are in David Lloyd Health and Leisure Clubs, I have been known to work at those places. So I have worked at David Lloyd Ringwood, David Lloyd Southampton. I've also worked at Portcullis. So I had a stint in Oxford, where, again, I loved, because I get to meet the lovely Andy Aitken amongst other lovely coaches up there. So I had Portcullis in Wallingford. My God, I'm just trying to think of all of there's probably loads.
No, this is very
Southampton, Southampton Tennis Club in Southampton, in the Hamptons. That was a very nice one. South Yarra in Australian Melbourne. It's a little bit of thinking going on here. In terms of, I've played in a lot of clubs. So, you know, obviously if you play like matches and things like that. So I've played a lot at those sort of places. But Swanage Tennis Club is obviously a big love of mine. That's where I currently coach. So, yeah, I've been there for a long time now. I think if I'm talking about kind of places that I've been there, I think that's probably,
yeah.
I've got to really think about this now. There's a club in Brisbane, but it was kind of like, I don't know, loosely a club. I don't think it was, but, it was called Zone Tennis, back in the day. I don't even know if it still exists now, but that was, I could assume maybe a member. So I've been there as well. So I've been about a little bit.
You have, yeah. Well, you've obviously travelled the world, so Australia, New York, you know, you have been here at Dorset, obviously, throwing that in there, so, yeah.
Hampshire.
Hampshire, yeah.
Oxfordshire.
I mean, you haven't really been north too far yet. I mean, that might be possibly one of the questions coming later. So obviously, just on, again, I guess this first segment of the pod is going to be a lot of memory recollection. So just testing the 40 years, whether the ticker's still going nicely. So we get, if you can, I cringe at this one because I'm not sure I'd be able to do it. You're going to have to give me, not from junior rackets, but more senior rackets, your racket history. So I'm talking about like rackets you played with. So just while you've got hopefully your thinking cap on. So anything you sort of coached with, I'd probably exclude, but anything that you've sort of maybe played with it for a suitable amount of time, you're probably going to ask what a suitable amount of time is. Maybe a minimum of 3 to 6 months. So anything that you maybe play for like one or two matches, I wouldn't necessarily recall. But yeah, if you can give me as best you can a bit of a racket history breakdown, not necessarily in date order, don't worry.
That's fair enough. Well, I think, you know, like all tennis players, I think back in the day we don't have a lot of money. I didn't have the fanciest rackets, so I do remember playing with a Donne. Not, I'm saying Donne's a bad brand at all, but that was one of the rackets I had, and I played in the Millennium Youth Games with that one. Actually, that's good knowledge, good memories. But I'd actually say I played with the Prince Triple Threat Hornet, very specific. But that was actually, I think I want to say actually late 90s was the club racket of the year possibly. And it was a good racket. I used to love that racket. But then ever since, right, I've basically gone through the museum of Yonex rackets, right? So I'm a big, big lover of Yonex rackets. I have not played with a single different racket, Yonex racket, for probably 25 years. And that's going through RDXs, the V-Cores, I'm having to remember all of these now. The E-Zones, the Percepts, the RD01s, I think they were.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah.
I mean, obviously, these are different timestamps. I was going all right, but I had to backtrack with that one. I would say, yeah, Yonex has been a big part of my tennis career.
And that leads nicely onto the next question, because I think you might have alluded to it, but you might give me a different answer. Out of all the rackets you played with, whether it's the fondest memory, whether it's, you know, the best looking racket, or, you know, what you had it for the longest period of time, what would you say? Again, you know, obviously no plug to Yonex necessarily here, but you obviously mentioned your Prince racket there. What's the best racket you had or have had so far, should I say?
So far, I think I quite like the V-Core 98s. And I used to play with the kind of, so they basically came out with, I think there was two, possibly three weights in the V-Core 98s. I used to quite like playing with the heavier version. So V-Core 98, and it was about 310 grams, I think. That was quite a nice weight. If you remember back when they had the red and the white one, that was a 98, I think, and that was maybe a 320 gram. So I'm usually between those two. But it's toughy because I do quite like the Percept. I quite like the Percept racket at, you know, 310 as well. So I had that and I quite like that as well. I've got to make it go on.
I was going to say, I'm really sorry, but somebody is holding a gun to your head right now.
Yeah, I know. I get it.
You've got to make a decisive decision here. You know, this is the racket, right?
I'm actually going to go with, yeah, V-Core 98. V-Core 98. I can't give you a specific year.
The red and white one?
Yeah.
Okay, because it's funny you say that. Because that, I think, is the V-Core 98D, and that is the best racket I've ever played with as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, and I constantly keep looking on eBay to find that racket again, just to get a frame again. Because I remember I got, obviously, yeah, contracted with Yonex like yourself. I got a couple of frames, and I remember both of the frames after maybe not like a short amount of time, maybe 15 to 20 months, both of them like just snapped on the edge. And then I thought, oh, you know, like the next Yonex racket that comes out will be better, you know, I love it more. And, you know, we're talking, I remember playing with that racket in 2014, first time on grass, so we're talking 11 years ago. I just haven't experienced a racket like that since. I don't know what it was about it, but it's just, nothing has quite stolen my heart like a V-Core 98D. And it must be good, because Stan Wawrinka still plays with it today.
Yeah.
As much as people maybe listening are like, oh, he plays with a Perceps, you know, check the Google images. If you check the Google images, you'll check the neck of the racket is very, very much like that. And there are, on the rumor mills of tennis websites, you'll see that they will confirm that is the, not, I think it's the 95D he plays with. But
yeah, and obviously they have lots of different things going on with their rackets, don't they? Heavier weighted.
Yeah. So,
but it's definitely closely followed by the more recent Percept. I did like that one as well. So,
yeah. All right, good choice. So we're still delving into the archives because you know what? It's not late at night at all. So let's keep going with it. So obviously, I think we've got to delve back into still junior days. But again, from we're talking like 12, 13 up until obviously the tender age of 40 now. Probably talking more competing. This is whether it's club matches or tournaments. Is there a tennis outfit that you remember wearing? You were like, right, I'm wearing this every match because I am the Don in it. I feel like I'm $1 million. I feel like I'm gonna win. Or there might have been a pair of tennis shoes you like slipped on. So mine for me back in the day were the Vapor Night Cages. I think they were. Rafa used to wear them. I brought a pair, and I was like, I think this is about 2011. I was like, every time I put them on, I must have been about 19. I was like, I'm going to move like an absolute animal on the tennis court today because these shoes are going to make me good. So I remember those shoes. They're always the shoes I go back to, just to give you an example. So I need a bit of, if you can, shoes and probably a tennis top, not necessarily shorts. So...
Okay, I think I'm going to have to go back early days. I think I had some K-Swiss. Some really cool, like, obviously, you know, the design is obviously not modern for modern time now, but back then, they were so comfy. So it's kind of like, you know, the playability on court, just being on there, and you kind of, when you put your new shoes on, sometimes they feel a bit tight, or they kind of just feel like these just kind of slipped on and just went straight on court, and you felt instantly they were going to be great. Now, I remember they had like blue pattern on them and white, but they were, I can't remember the actual model of them because that was a long time ago. So I'll probably say they were from a childhood point of view. And again, I suppose I'm a bit biased because we've had a bit of Yonex stuff, but I'd have to say that was a cool yellow Aussie Open yellow top way back when, which I really quite liked. I didn't think I was kind of, you know, liking the garish colours, but I thought the yellow, I really liked the yellow, strangely enough.
Good for the summer flies at the moment. If you're wearing one of those, you'd be looking like a lovely flower with lots of these black thunder flies landing on you, no doubt, at the moment.
It's probably a weird selection, but I think that, yeah, I'm going to go back in the old school with great. I mean, you can remember the shell suits. Shell suits were great, weren't they? but yeah, I'm going to go with that. Yeah, K-Swiss and Yonex Aussie Open. More recent yellow top.
I like that. Okay, so we're getting that's the lighthearted stuff done. Okay, so we're now delving really into sort of the past, but also the future. So, you know, you're 40, but we've got to think a little bit back to when you're 20. So we're going to go into a little bit of coaching now, and potentially we're looking into the future. we're gonna look at Ryan Trickey hitting 60, okay, all right. But we're gonna Ryan's maybe, touch wood, we never know. We don't know what the future's gonna hold. Still, maybe in coaching, possibly. So, is there one bit of advice that you would give your 20-year-old self based on the last 20 years of coaching? That you would travel back in time and say, Ryan, look, you have done this when you were 32. You know what? Don't do it. All right. You know, don't do it. Or you had this, you know, not necessarily a specific incident. So obviously you don't need to name anything specifically, but there might have been something sort of, you know, and probably everybody listening and myself, you know, we do nothing perfectly and they're going to be all little things. So again, with regards to probably tennis, this is, of course, obviously, got no idea when you were 31 whether your spag bowl that you threw on the floor was out of anger, whatever it may be. And then I guess the follow-on question to that, if you're able to answer it and remember it, is where you are now, you know, what would you like your 60-year-old self to be still sort of doing in terms of like an ethos? If you're, you know, you're probably going to be limited on court a little bit more, but, you know, where would you like to be in terms of, yeah, your tennis coaching, if you can, at 60, it's, again, speculation, of course, but yeah. You might not be on a tennis court. You might be saying that you're retiring at 50, having won EuroMillions.
Oof. Wouldn't that be something? God, that's a tough question.
Yeah, I think, you know these questions, I know.
You know, I think you do learn a lot. What would I say to my younger self? Wow, well, like I say, it's unscripted, isn't it? We don't know.
Yeah.
I would say, if it doesn't work, don't panic, because I think there's certain times where you feel that you've got to, you know, for my younger coaching self, you really want things to work, and you really want the player to get miles better. But for me, I just think, look, it's not going to work all the time. You've got to adapt. So be adaptable, I suppose, and don't worry if it doesn't, you know, work first time. And don't, you know, kind of don't panic, you know, that sort of thing. Coaching is, I think, all about being able to be adaptable and, you know, variable as the time comes. Whereas I think back in the day, I was like, you know, young, kind of like, no, I really, you know, and I still want it now, but I still think, like, back in the day, you're like, no, I want to have the best players and they're going to have the best strikes and the best strokes and all that sort of thing. And I just say to myself back in the day, I just say, look, it, you know, don't panic. Give it a go. If it doesn't work, try and be adaptable. Don't kind of be fixated on one journey for a shot, for example. Yeah. So I think that would probably be one thing. And then, oh God, what am I going to say to my older self?
This one's probably, I think, a little bit harder, because essentially, you don't really know. Obviously, the 20 years gone by, you can vaguely remember bits and pieces that have happened. This is like completely, you know, it's a bit like if we knew what the future holds, then we'd be doing the lottery numbers and we'd be winning lots of money. But we have no idea. You don't know whether you're going to be running the world's biggest tennis academy by then. You don't know whether you might have retired or you might be in a different industry. But let's say you still manage to stay in tennis for another 20 years. Let me rephrase the question. What would you like to be, if somebody was coming or saw your name, what would you like people or clientele, that's a really bad word, pupils to go, Ryan Trickey is this tennis coach and he's really good at da 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 da. And there's a longevity in this, I guess. There's maybe another way of wording it.
If I was 60 and still coaching, I don't think my drive would be to maybe be the, you know, National Tennis Centre. I think I probably won't have possibly moved too far from what I'm currently on. I think I've done quite a lot in an early stages of my career in terms of travelling with tennis. So I don't think there's a bug for that. And obviously I've got family, so I've done that. So I'm happy I've done that. I've had the privilege to work with some really, really good players. But how I probably want people to go back and say is, well, all the usual bits really, I suppose, but fun, Ryan would have a smile on court. He always created like energy. I think energy's a big thing. Do I think they probably say that now? Probably, but probably not. I don't know. We don't always ask, do we? We don't gain our opinions all the time from other people, but I do hear like feedbacks and things. So I was just thinking if people went back and said, oh yeah, no, I had coaching with Ryan. He was great fun, knowledgeable, and developed my game to where I want it to be. Helped me reach my goals. I don't think it needs to be all singing and dancing. I don't think I'm going to be coaching the next, Emirata Kanu, all those sort of guys. So I'm fairly realistic in that. But yeah, I just want to, I just want to be the person that lots of people have seen and they've had a great experience with me and they feel like they've achieved some goals.
Very nice answer. Very nice. Hopefully that's the case, and hopefully that will happen.
Fingers crossed. If you
Okay,
been
right.
coaching.
Right, you'll be glad to know we're heading into the back end of the third set now, so four questions to go. And it's quite timely I've mentioned it like that. So, Ryan, you obviously, again, just in case anybody listening and hasn't read the title of this pod, you're 40.
Yeah.
But a time machine, you're a Saturday afternoon at Swanage, and a 20-year-old Ryan Trickey has rocked up to play you in a match. Who's winning?
That's quite a good question. Oh,
Has the
that's
experience of a 40-year-old Ryan Trickey got the young thunder of the 20-year-old on a court that you know well?
I'd say the 40-year-old win against the 20-year-old.
Give me a score.
Only because I think the maturity, not the maturity, the experience on court and that extra playing time, I think that would be good. If we see like me back in the day, like you see obviously other 20-year-olds, I think we'd probably have there'd be a few mistakes in there. The serve would probably be still not too bad. Backhand maybe not too bad. I think my forehand would let me down back in my 20s. So yeah, I'd say the 40. I'd score Christ. We're gonna go with if we're talking a three set.
That's the three, yep.
I'm gonna go two loving sets.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna go 6-3, 6-4.
Okay.
I think it'd be close because I think young me would be like whipping around all over the place, getting everything back, but maybe not with so much purpose. Whereas now I think I probably would swing it around with a bit of purpose, move the player about a little bit, create a bit of variation. You know what it's like. So yeah, I'll go 6-3, 6-4.
Okay, all right. So you're basically saying you're at your peak now. This is it. This is the moment.
No, I wouldn't sound like my peak. I just sound better than my 20-year-old self.
20-year-old.
Yeah.
Because I guess my follow-on question to that could be, time machine, you're playing your 30-year-old self against 40.
Cool.
Oh, you think you still think you've got your 30-year-old self?
I think that would be close.
You think that's going three sets?
That's going three sets.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because I think by 30. Where was I? On my 30th birthday, 2015, I think I've
Perfect.
been
Probably
David. Yeah, I think.
just finished traveling the world, maybe.
No, I've been. I'd have been David Lloyd Ringwood, I think. Around that's yeah. So, I was going to the gym at that point. So I do a little bit of gym work, but not so much now. Not as much. But I think my fitter self would beat my 40th. So I'm going to say my 30-year-old would beat me at
Okay.
40, just because of possibly a bit of fitness.
So you passed your peak. That's it. It's gone.
Yeah, I think, yeah, I've passed my peak,
That's
yeah.
what I realized by 40 now. You passed your peak.
Well,
Okay.
I'm just literally, my double stats aren't that bad, but you get me a singles court, I would probably run out of juice.
Okay. All right. Yeah, good to know. Well, the original question was 40 versus 20. So Yeah, don't worry too much about that one. Right, three to go.
Okay.
So, past 40 years, played a few matches in your lifetime. One match you'd love to change. So that might be performance, might be outcome. One match you could have back.
I don't know why, but the earlier stages at St. Leonard's and St. Ives, that's obviously where I played a lot of my childhood tennis. And there's always, as you know, I'm sure you have, there's always like a rival or a couple of rivals that you always pitch yourself up against. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. And I think it was a men's final. I can't remember who, I think I was playing against a guy called Martin. And thinking back at myself then, I just thought I'd like to change that match because, you know, I won a couple of club championships, but there was one, I think we had a long, it was a long match, like 2 hour match maybe. I think I would love to obviously change the result around so that I won for a start. But I think it was just the case of actually just, yeah, reversing that scoreline and having those long rallies like we see on Wimbledon. And coming off better off of some of those ones. Don't ask me the year because we played a lot. But I mean, yeah, I would say that. I don't know why it was that because it was so important or whatever. But at that time it was. So maybe that. And a close second would be at university. We got through to the regional finals. We had to play Kings, I think it was, in the next round, and I lost that match. And I was frustrated because I just made too many, like a couple of too many mistakes. And the guys that we were playing were obviously very good, being in London. So yeah, that's probably another close second.
Okay, and this might be a very quick answer because you might have already answered it, but there might be something else. I guess like most memorable match. So that's I guess that previous question was more about taking a result or a performance and changing it. This might be, you know, I'm not going to try and sway you very quickly, but there is.
I already know.
You do need to think. You do need to think about for certain circumstances. The result possibly also went in your favour. we did play tennis and a bit of dragons at the time as well, so there's a lot of games going on. But not that I'm going to try and sway your opinion, but maybe you could give me another one after, possibly, if there's a more serious one. But,
I'm just going to get straight to it. That was obviously the best match. That was the best match. And you knew that, I think, as well. I think it has to go down. I mean, we smashed Isner and Mahout's record. that one, definitely. We played, 90? So, those that don't know, have we talked about it in another podcast? Maybe we did.
One of the early podcasts. Early on.
But I think those that don't know, we did an attempt at the longest continuous singles tennis match and we played 98 sets. Obviously, the score was in my favour, but we had a hampered, like, injured Andy quite early on. So that could have been very, very different. But no, I think just purely because of the longevity and the carnage that all of that basically unfolded to be, it was just definitely that match was number one. And then if I'm thinking maybe a more kind of conventional match that we probably would have rather than 98 sets, not that you do that every day, I don't know, it was quite a proud moment actually winning my first kind of main win at Swanage, just being obviously the coach setting up, you know, being able to be on the board for your new club. I think, you know, that was probably quite a proud moment. I mean, there's so many to choose from, isn't there? I think we had, maybe actually the other one was we played a club finals match and this was in the men's, so we're both men at the, you know, obviously both men. It was two coaches battling against each other. And I think I'll probably say that was probably the close second, actually, because he was the head coach. I was the assistant, as it were. And I think, by all accounts, I just might have taken it. but I can't, don't quote me on that. But I think that was a good match by recollection, because I think it was all kind of up and down all the way. So I'm going to go with that as a second at St. Leonard's and St. Ives. Big love to St. Leonard's and St. Ives, as you can tell.
Big love,
yeah.
Okay. Right, serving for the match now. It's final question.
Woo!
So you're going to give yourself a score out of 10 for where you believe your tennis up to this point, so where you started, how you enjoyed it, how much time you spent on court, the social side of it, your coaching journey, out of 10 you give yourself. Now, just to give you context, if you're saying it's 10 out of 10, you thoroughly enjoyed it, there's nothing you would have changed. And that's obviously an acceptable answer. Pre-warning you, if it's lower than 9, I need to know what you would have potentially changed. If you're saying, actually, God, it's 1 out of 10, I've had a rubbish tennis experience my entire life, coaching, playing, being a junior, first starting, I wish, you know, my mum and dad had never put me on a tennis court, that's entirely your choice, entirely your choice, but we are doing a tennis pod, so I'm hoping there will be some sort of a high score. So give me your final score, and if it's lower than 9, I need a bit of a, hopefully, what you would change.
Okay, I'm not going to give it the full 10. I'm probably going to give it, based on all of that, that's quite a big, broad spectrum of things.
Tennis journey, yep.
Tennis journey. I mean, I've loved playing tennis, and I'm into not, you know, showing age at all, but the 37th year of playing tennis. So that is a long time of playing the sport. So that should tell you how much the sport means to me. I'm probably going to give it an 8. And the only reason, a few reasons maybe, in my earlier days, had I maybe had the opportunities of other players with coaching and technical advancements that they got, might be a different player, might be a better player. So, but it wasn't a bad time that I was having at that club, let's just put that straight. But I suppose it was just a bit more technical, a little bit more kind of pushing me on a little bit further, if that makes sense. I think that happens in a lot of clubs, doesn't it? You're always trying to find the challenge. So I think that was probably the one part. And I think the other thing is maybe trying to expand my horizons a little bit in coaching as well. So that's probably why, you know, so I've done traveling, which is really, really good, but maybe kind of believing in myself a bit more and trying to go for the more challenging roles, perhaps not playing it too, sometimes too safe. That makes sense. That's probably a bit complicated, right? But I think,
you know, what it's a good answer with me. I do get it, yeah. But it's hard, because obviously 8 out of 10 is still a pretty good score,
so. Yeah, it is, yeah, absolutely. And for a long longevity of the time I've had, you know, 40 years, right? But yeah, 37.
You're 40, are you?
Oh, yeah.
Are you telling me we're doing this pod of 3 years too early? We should be doing 40 years journey. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm just saying, of that time, no, I've enjoyed everywhere I've gone and played and experienced, and coaching's obviously given me experiences that I'll never forget, and people that I've met that I'll never forget. Junior wise, I've met loads of friends socially through it, competitions, played loads of competitions, both young, and at university, and still kind of currently playing a little bit now. So, but I think I've done a fair amount, but I think maybe they're the two main that don't get the extra points in my view.
Okay. Ryan, congratulations. The interview for your 40th birthday has finished. You're not in the hot seat anymore. I hope you enjoyed it. It's been thoroughly good to listen to all of it, actually. So hopefully everybody who's been listening has enjoyed it as much as I have. I've learned a heck of a lot from this yellow Aussie Open Yonex top, which I think is just outrageous. But you know what? Everyone's different, aren't they? To obviously, yeah, Ryan's journey. You know, not that he's bigged up this club, but, you know, we'll leave the name out. He's loved this club, and he's done enough promoting of it, so we won't mention it anymore. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
No, thank you. And unexpected, but yeah, interesting insight, hopefully, for a lot of people listening. And like I say, I'm sure, you know, if I had a bit more time, there might be potentially slightly different, like, little extras to add to it. But I think it was quite a nice surprise, actually. So hopefully it's helped a few people out there kind of answer some of their questions, give them insight. Who knows?
And the main thing to point out is when you hit 40, you haven't got a tennis midlife crisis by the sounds of it.
No, 40 is the new 30, isn't it? So, you know,
But apparently 30 beats 40-year-old Ryan Tricky going back to the original one.
Well, we're talking tennis, aren't we? So, yeah.
Yeah, we are, of course. Right, guys, thank you very much for listening in. Ryan, I'll catch up with you very soon, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks very much for listening, guys. Take care.